everybody. Welcome to Coffee Time with Lynn. That's right, Coffee Time with Lynn from the kitchen. Kind of like I used to do at the farmhouse years ago. So this is my kitchen in my 100-and-some-odd-year-old house in a bad area. I'll have to say, the landlord did an amazing job with it. He totally gutted it and redid it. So it's like the main place in the house, the nicest place in the house too. So it's very odd because houses that old, generally speaking, didn't have such a big kitchen. Now where you see the refrigerator at behind me, that used to be stairs, like a little stairs and a landing. There's one on the opposite side and they met in the middle on the landing to go upstairs, and he put drywall up to make the kitchen a little bit bigger. So what would you guys like to talk about tonight? What's on your mind? I'll tell you what was on my mind. What was on my mind is something that we all think about, but we don't necessarily equate it to the discussion I'm going to have about it. Does that make sense? Probably not. So, aging. I just turned 53 years old, just in June on the 5th, 53 years old. And as you get older, people around you die, things begin to change. You're like trying to fight it. The things that start changing, you don't like it. You're like, oh my gosh, I noticed this. Oh my gosh, my neck is changing. Oh my gosh, my eyes don't look like they used to. Or, oh my gosh, I'm getting little lines by my lips or wherever. I mean, I don't think any of us like the neck thing. I mean, that's just inevitable. I was thinking about that. Like, why did God make us have to, like, as we get older, like, get wrinkles and all this unattractive stuff that's really hard to deal with? And the conclusion I came to was two things. It could be one or the other or both. Number one, we've had our whole life to do whatever, sin and do all sorts of things. And the reason we start getting aches and pains and looking less attractive than what we did when we were younger and things like that is because we're coming to the end of our life. And God really wants us to hate our flesh. He does not want us to love the flesh. That's why we start suffering with all sorts of things, discomforts, you know, not just how we look, but other things too. And He wants us to really just not rely on the flesh, not be in love with our flesh. The other thing I thought about, you know, the older we get, we start suffering with more aches and pains. I kind of just mentioned that. And I think it just gets worse sometimes as we get older for many of us. And my conclusion about that is God is making it easier for us when our final days come to where we're so uncomfortable in the flesh that we don't want to live in it anymore. We just want to go home to be with Him. Whereas when we're younger, we're like wanting to hold on to the flesh. Everything seems okay mostly, and we're afraid of those things. But then as we get older, we've lived here a long time. We've got all these problems. We just want to hurry up and get our new body. And so therefore, it's not quite as complex and difficult as it would have been earlier in life. So I was very curious what you guys thought about that. Like, what do you think? What's your theory about why we like look less attractive and suffer more and all of that stuff? I mean, yes, I know we age also because our body is dying and death is part of life. Oh, so here's one that I thought about before. Now you have to think really deep about this. There's more of a chance that you would have never been born to begin with, and you can look up the statistics scientifically, than there is that you will not live after death on this earth. I mean, what are the odds you made it here to begin with? Now, if you want to go deeper into that topic, then that can actually increase your faith about God and his existence and things like that. If you ever have doubts or worries or fears, like the what if kind of thought, like some people do. And I know I'll get those people that say, I'm not afraid of death and all this. That's great. But there's a lot of people who are. It's like we have our faith, but it's the unknown to us. You know, there's a lot of people who really have a hard time with it. That is normal. I used to work for hospice and all sorts of things. I worked in long-term care, and a lot of people are really afraid of it. And we have to be sensitive to other people's feelings. We can't just act like a bunch of heartless stormtroopers, like know-it-all stormtroopers, like we're perfect. In fact, Paul said, I would rather boast of my weaknesses. So back to what I was saying, furthering that discussion on the existence of God, the chances that you would be here are like one in, what, millions? Actually, let's go look. Let's go look really quick just for fun. Now, we're going to look up statistics about this, and I'm not trying to be gross, but it's going to use words that we associate with other things, but we're looking at the science of this, okay, because we want to see what are the odds. So let's look at what the numbers say. Okay, it says millions of sperm, millions, embark on the journey towards the egg, but only one ultimately succeeds in fertilizing it. That's millions. Out of the tens of hundreds of millions of sperm released during ejaculation, only a few hundred make it to the egg. Even then, the egg itself plays a role in selecting which sperm will fertilize it. Initial count, a single ejaculation can release between 20 million and 100 million sperm. The female reproductive tract presents numerous hurdles, including acidity, thick mucus, and immune responses, which drastically reduce the sperm population, according to Aspire Fertility and Endura IVF. Only about 200 to 300 sperm typically reach the vicinity of the egg. Final selection, the egg, through chemical signals, can influence which sperm successfully penetrates its outer layers. So look there, initial count, a single ejaculation can release between 20 million to 100 million sperm. And then you go up above to the AI overview, it says millions. Okay, 20 million and 100 million. And then the egg, okay, in the female reproductive system, it's very complex. And only about 200 to 300 typically reach the vicinity of the egg. So the egg ends up basically deciding or influencing which sperm will successfully penetrate its outer layers. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? I mean, this is a creation of God, but look at the odds there. Wow. When you think about it like that, you're pretty darn special. You who are watching this video, you are one in millions. One in millions. This is great coffee time talk, by the way, isn't it? Sperm and all that other stuff. So, going back to my original statement, the chances are higher that you would have never been born to begin with than they are that you will not live again after death on this earth. Where you will choose to live, well, that's a different story. According to the Bible, the gate is wide that leads to destruction. Many will enter in through it, and the gate is narrow, which leads to life, and only few will find it. So I guess the chances are slim for a whole bunch of people. Think about how many people claim to be Christian. Think about all these mega churches, but yet the gate is narrow and only few will find it. So sad when you think about it. There's a whole lot of people who think they're going to heaven, but they're not. And they're going to be very shocked when Jesus says to them, "Get away from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you." Do you know how many teachers, preachers, pastors, and so on and so forth are out there teaching that verse, who will not make it to heaven? You know what I love? I love comparing science to the Bible, because God already wrote everything in His Word that science finds. Science finds all of these things, and then you can go in and do these deep word studies, and then you find everything in the Bible, and they think they found it. Like, oh, we discovered this. No, you didn't. It's been in the Bible for a very, very long time. You just never studied it. But it's so cool to compare certain scientific things with what the Bible says. Really cool. So it's been really, really, really hot here. Really hot. And with this problem I have with this place I live, like my thermostat, I cannot get it down past 74. And it just runs all the time. And it has to do, there's nothing wrong with the air conditioner. There's nothing wrong with the thermostat. All that's been checked. It's the house. It's because it's a flat roof with basically no insulation. And it's just, it's awful. And I have to sleep up there tonight, but I can't afford to run the portable air conditioning units because that just makes it even worse money-wise. So I just have fans blowing all over me, which dries out my eyes and my nose, but it is what it is. It's a toss-up for sure. I'm really tired of the heat. I'm looking forward to fall. Can't stand it anymore. Like, the summer has either been up in the 90s and around 100 or more, real feel. Well, actually, it's literally been in the 90s, but like over 100 real feel, somewhere in that ballpark. And then when it's not hot, it's been raining. Now, we did have a few nice days recently, and I was very, very happy for that, very grateful, but it was very short-lived. So this house is all wood. Everything's wood except for the stairs as carpet. The upstairs gets so hot that the smell of the hot wood comes downstairs and my fart detector picks it up. Like, you know, those things that change colors and numbers. Oh, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. So it's one of those air purifiers. When it detects a smell, it'll go like to yellow and orange and red and change numbers. So the reason it deemed the name fart detector is because I had one when the kids were little also, and they used to stick their butts in it and do nasty things. Thus, it got the nickname fart detector. Lovely, huh, kids? So right now, currently, I think it's like on 3 or something like that. It's on 3. And if you see my lights flicker from time to time, weird, it's just like my air conditioner running, like the power flashing or something. So, sorry. So I'm not sure if you guys would like to like see the old house that I live in. It's it was built in either 1910 or 1920. I will not go down in the basement at night though, so that you know, no basement at night. So I will not show you the basement. So my landlord, who's renovating it, never finished anything. So some of the walls look nasty. The upstairs not finished. There's trim just laying in the hallway he never put up. He never fixed the fireplace. The fireplace looks like something out of a horror movie. So I hid the fireplace with a big picture and some other stuff. Like, he just never finished anything. So it looks terrible. He's supposed to fix the walls after he fixes the leak on the roof, which is making, I guess this is like double brick. So with the roof leak, it's not really leaking directly on the plaster on the walls. It's leaking down in the bricks behind the walls, which is then like creating moisture and then bubbling the walls and stuff. So it looks pretty bad upstairs. I imagine whenever he finishes, he was supposed to have this finished before I moved in here on June 1st. And he keeps saying he's going to finish it and then doesn't finish it, has other priorities and things like that. So it's not done. But I'll show you really quick. Let me use my phone to do that if you're curious. If you're not curious, you can just skip this part. Please keep in mind also, I live in a very, very bad area, okay? I live in a very bad area of town. So let me go ahead and show it to you real quick. So back here is an old pantry, which is kind of cool. There's cabinet doors that go down here, but he hasn't put them back on. They're still at his place, but it's really cool. It's even got an old laundry chute. That goes to the basement. And then this is the laundry room bathroom. I'm trying to show it to you here. So this is the laundry room, AKA bathroom. Maybe I should zoom out a little bit so you can see better. Sorry. We'll go back through. But this is the bathroom. And that is an antique mirror that you see right there. Pretty cool. So I thought it was neat. Let me get this off. I'll show you the basement, but I refuse to go down there. Da-da-da-dum, da-dum. Okay. So this is the owner of the house's refrigerator that he put in here. And then that is the creepy basement right there. That's where I had the sewer leak. It's very hot in there because of that window. I put insulated curtains, but it doesn't really help anything. So he put barn doors on it. All right, back through the kitchen now that I have the camera. At a wider view, you can see it much better. That's the kitchen. I obviously need to do dishes. All right, now off to the living room. So this is the living room so that you can see. Sorry, it's a little messy right now. Oh my goodness, a pillow is out of place. Let's fix that. So this is the living room. That's the old fireplace. See how I have a picture over it, like I said. There's the door. Here's a monkey, bookshelf, old rocking chair. All right, so, oh, look here, so you can see. I had to jack it up to 75 because it won't shut off. It just keeps running. That's a really old, cool window. So here is going up the stairs. You can feel the heat difference right here. So we're gonna go up the stairs. I have to kind of look at my feet right now. All right, so this is the hallway. That's the bathroom at the end of the hall. You can see I have fans everywhere because I have to. This is the green screen room right here. It's kind of a mess, but that's the green screen room. The linen closet's pretty old and cool. And then here's my office room up here. It's kind of a mess too. It's been kind of hard to do anything when there's all this stuff that needs done. And then there's my teeny tiny bathroom. As you can see, very small. And I have insulation over that window, like tons of that Mylar insulation, because that window gets over 100 degrees. So then back down the hall. What I don't like is the bedroom door is this close to the stairwell. See that? That's just horrible. I don't like that. So now we're gonna go back down the stairs. Look up there, it's so high. I dread when that light needs to be changed up there. That's gonna be awful. All right, so here we go. Back down into civilization. So yeah, this is the place. So now you've gotten to see the place. So now you guys know my secret that I am a hoarder. I've been hoarding since I was like very young. So I did throw out a lot of stuff before I moved here, but probably not enough stuff. Like I used to really, really love shopping like at Goodwill or Salvation Army because you could find some really neat stuff there. I used to also go to nursing home garage sales. Of course, I worked in nursing homes and you could like fill a whole bag or several bags. Like you had 10 minutes to fill a bag full as you could for like a dollar or for $5 or something like that. It was so cool. Then they had a major Bible bookstore close here in town when I was married to my ex-husband. Back in 2016, 2017, and you could literally buy like probably several thousand dollars worth of Bibles for under $100. So I bought a bunch of Bibles. I just gave a whole bunch of them to the church next door just the other week because they were having some vacation Bible school thing with kids. So I had a bunch of teen Bibles that were really nice. So I gave those away. I also have a bunch of stuff that was my grandma's when she passed away. Miscellaneous pieces of furniture, lamps, things like that. Stuff that had belonged to her. So just a lot of little junk I've collected over the many years. The picture you see of the red flower kind of back behind me there. There's one over my sink that the landlord gave me as I showed to you. But the picture that you see right there, that's all warped. I bought that with a tax return check back in, I think it was like 2010. Yeah, 2010 or 2011. But I was living with a man at the time. We were not married, and I wasn't walking with the Lord at the time, but he was an alcoholic. So he was drunk, and somehow my brand new pictures that I had paid for with my tax return ended up on the front lawn, and the glass that was over that one broke, part of the frame broke. So it's a little bit warped on one side. I always use like double stick tape, but it never stays stuck to the wall. So this has been an interesting discussion. I hope you guys enjoyed the little coffee time video. My coffee is cold and I haven't really drank it, but here, let me take a sip for you so I can officially call it a coffee video. There you go. Now it is officially a coffee video since I took a drink of coffee. God bless all of you. Maybe we should meet up every so often in this casual setting and just talk about whatever, just life in general. I mean, I devote most of my video time to Bible studies and things like that. So I don't think it would be wrong or hurtful to once in a while just do like a little impromptu casual video, just talking about life, talking about stuff. Like nothing in general. Let me know what you think. God bless all of you. I hope you have a beautiful evening. And don't forget, if you really appreciate what I do and the time I spend and the effort I put into making these videos, please don't forget that this is what I do full time. I'm 100% viewer supported. So if you feel moved or led to sow a gift into what I do to help me continue doing it, you can do so via my PayPal or my PO box. I'm actually in desperate need of some help right now. Just had a bunch of dental work, a dental emergency. It was bad. I had to pay out a ton of money for a dental emergency. Ended up, I had two abscess teeth. Then I got one of those infections after they take care of the abscess teeth. And it was just horrible. So I have that, plus I have a really high utility bill because of this house that I was not told it would be this way. My utility bill is almost $400. So what I'm saying is I could really use some help if you can. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Until next time, have a beautiful, beautiful day, evening, whatever it is, wherever you're at.